Praise the Lord. We thank Almighty God for this glorious day, marking the 2020 Father's Day celebration. We are grateful to God that despite the pandemic and the lockdown, the Lord has been faithful in keeping His children safe in the sanctuary of prayer. Praise the Lord. We are also very grateful to our senior pastor and the pastorate for granting the CFM the platform to celebrate the 2020 Father's Day, and for the opportunity given me to testify on the Word of God concerning the topic, Godly Parenting Through Abounding Grace. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you completely take over this ministration and minister your word to your people, that they may be richly blessed and empowered to raise kingdom children that will populate our nation and shine the light of God even to the end of the earth, in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of introduction, I define godly parenting as the upbringing of and care of a child in the way of the Lord. It involves promoting and supporting the physical, spiritual, emotional, social, intellectual development of a child from infancy to adulthood to ensure that the child becomes everything that Almighty God made him or her to be. Fathers are enjoined in Ephesians 6, verse 4b, to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Proverbs 22, 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Children are a heritage from the Lord. For them to fulfill the purpose of God in their lives and be of great support and defense to the family, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, parents have the God-given responsibility of nurturing them for the Lord. How do we make a success of this assignment? Considering the issues confronting the upbringing of children in today's world, we have issues like absentee parenting, whether through the demands of job and career, single parenting is becoming fashionable, social media is serious distraction, and peer pressure. Worse still, we have increasing number of non-Christian role models, and believe it, they are even in high places. Leaders in government who steal with impunity. These cannot be role models for children of God. So under this situation, how do we bring up godly children? Number one, follow God's manual, the Bible, in the parenting journey. You can never go wrong. God instituted marriage and He provided His manual. It is the manual of God that is the master key. So parents must study to know the Word of God, live the Word of God, and the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, so says Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that we may observe to do everything and achieve good success. For them, you will make our way prosperous. We should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth to instruct the children in the way of the Lord. God gave a great testimony about Abraham. He said in Genesis 18 verse 19, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And thou shalt teach them diligently, so says the Lord, unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." In other words, the word of God must be with us all through the time, when we lie down, when we wake up, at work, at home. We must diligently teach our children the word of God and the way of God. The second principle is that we must be praying parents. We should pray for God's guidance in raising the children to be all that God wants them to be. Judges 13:8, Manoah prayed that God should teach them child that shall be born. Even before the child was born, Manoah had taken his case in plea, in prayer to God, that God should instruct him on the way they should teach and bring up the child. And except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. A family that prays together overcome together. A prayerless family is a powerless family. Prayer is the master key. We must remember the case of Susanna Wesley, always on her knees, praying for her sons. And no wonder, her sons, John and Charles, became pillars of faith in the Methodist Church. The third principle is to have the mindset of faithful carers. I know this is difficult for people to appreciate. We name our children Junior, give them our names as if we own them. But the Word of God says, children are the heritage of the Lord. So the Lord owns these children. We are just lucky to be appointed, to be entrusted with caring and nurturing these children. That caring mentality, acceding to the ownership of the children by God, is fundamental in pleasing God. It is the same mindset that made Abraham to surrender to God when he called for the sacrifice of the only son that he gave them at ripe old age, 199. Many Christians today will say, "Oh no, that can't be. I've waited decades for this child, and the Lord said I should sacrifice them." Oh, they will think twice. They will say, "No, God, do something else. Preserve this child." But the mindset that Abraham has is the mindset that acknowledges God Almighty as the owner of these children, as the owner of Isaac, and he willingly surrendered to God, and God saw his faith, and God acknowledged him and blessed him more and more for that. So we parents should also adopt that mentality that we are just carers. God is the father of these children. We take our children to nursery and the daycare, take care of them, and we pick them up as our own children. Well, we are first carers. The daycarers are second carers. The ultimate owner of these children is God, and we must acknowledge this in substance, in truth, deeply in our heart, surrendering these children to God because they are God's heritage. The fourth principle is love. Love must be sacrificial and unconditional. Jesus set the example for us. He loved us, not because we loved him. He loved us to the extent that he gave his life unto us. Our love for children that the Lord has entrusted us with must be total, sacrificial, unconditional indeed. 1 John chapter 3 verse 18 says, "My little children, let us not love in the word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Love encompasses everything. We must love these children. We must provide for them, for their needs. We must take care of them as being heritage of the Lord. The fifth principle is discipline. The word of God says, "Foolishness is banned in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." These days, in many developed countries, the forms of correction, of discipline, excludes corporal punishment. And even in Africa these days, there are better ways. These children are very intelligent. They are the Y generation. My grandchildren jump in on the bed and say, "Stop jumping on the bed, on grandma or grandpa's bed." And say, "Why? Why?" They want a reason for everything. And we must patiently explain the reason. More importantly, we must avoid "do as I say" at all costs. We must draw reference from the word of God to correct them, to show them what God says in every situation. Word of God must be the basis for corrective measures that when we need to put the children right. Praise the Lord. The sixth principle is teaching them to be hardworking and industrious. The Bible in Proverbs 6:6-11 admonished us to learn from the earth. As small as these animals are, there are no idle moments. They are always laboring, saving for winter, active. We must teach our children to be industrious, to be hardworking, to be forward-looking, and to save for the future. They must learn skills. Even Jesus helped his father in his carpentry work. Praise the Lord. Number seven. This is honesty. It is not compromisable. The Lord detests lying tongues. We must take a very firm stand in teaching our children to be honest under every situation. They must have the courage to to own up to their mistakes and not tell lies. Lies demeans. Lies is evil. Lies is against the word of God. We must stress this to our children, that in all things, in all situations, they must be honest, and their word should be their word. Praise the Lord. Another important principle in bringing up our children is humility and respect. God is arrogance, pride, and we should teach our children to be humble in every situation, to be respectful of the opinion of others, not to be dismissive of people, either because they think they don't have money. No, we should teach them to be humble, to be respectful, particularly to elders and even their colleagues. Praise the Lord. Another principle is to teach them to abhor greed. The bane of our society in Nigeria today is greed. Wanting greed, acquisition upon acquisition. What belongs to the commonwealth, some people just out of greed corner all these things to themselves. This is evil, and it has spelled poverty. It has spread poverty across the land. Children of God must not be found in this. We must make sure that we take a firm stand against greed, corruption, and model a life of honesty in every situation of our life. We must also guard against unfriendly friends. We should be aware of covetousness, because of these days where all sorts of social media distracting, provocating, we need the grace of God. We need serious prayer and attention to guide our children right, to choose right. We will not be with them all the time, but if we plant the word of God in them, surely the Holy Spirit will water that word and they will grow steadfastly in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Another principle is to provide for their basic needs. Do not provoke the children. Do not tempt them to steal. A child who is deprived of basic needs, food, clothing, food in particular, may be tempted to steal, to keep body and soul together. We should pray to Almighty God for the empowerment to provide for the basic needs of our children. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." But we must admit that the present economic conditions, the harsh economic reality, enjoins Christians to walk as a body in love. The Yorubas say that it's the community that brings up the children. So we rally around to fill the gap. We rally around to provide support where there is a deficiency. This is being Christianly. Praise the Lord. And then we should recognize the children as God's investment to become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I've had a number of parents who think the investment, sending their children to best schools and so on, is for them to have good qualifications and earn good salaries and bring returns, material returns, financial returns to the person, to the parents. In other words, they are using these children as trade instruments. This is not the purpose of God. God says there is heritage, and they are to be light unto the world and salt unto the earth. So our own responsibility is to nurture them to serve God and to serve humanity. Of course, being Christians, brought up in the Christian way, they will be grateful. Gratitude is ingrained in the life of a Christian. They will remember the wonderful things you have done for them, and on their own volition, they will honor you. They will say thank you. And even if they don't, if you have done the upbringing of the children diligently in the way of the Lord, the Almighty God has 1,001 means of recompensing you more than you can ever imagine or expect. In Jesus' name. Amen. We should also mentor as a church orphans. Children whose parents are not Christians should be mentored in the church by CFM, by FWI members, because we are their parents. It's not only biological parents that are charged with the responsibility. Any Kenny Tiabanipa Lati Toju Lati Toju Lati Unlosi or no Lua or Lono Unon Yomowa. So we must sacrifice everything possible to nurture children who are orphans, who are deprived, and especially those whose parents are not Christians. The reward will come bountifully. Such children are great instruments of converting their parents to the Christian faith. So we must not give up. We must reach out and be parents to orphans and to children whose parents are not Christians. To single parents in particular, it is not easy. A bird does not fly with one arm, with one wing. The church should rally around and help and be the parents and the nurturer of these children. Then We must trust absolutely in God. We should never give up. Despite challenges and delayed results, we must not give up. I'm told of the story of the Ade Pharisees. Many of you have heard it. Both parents are praying parents. The mother in particular, always on her knees. Today, the legacy is glorious. Many of them are pastors of big churches, both male and female, and they are making great impact in spreading the gospel in Nigeria and globally. So we must never give up. We must never give up. We must never give up. We must trust absolutely in God, in that nothing is impossible for Him to do. We should just trust in Him. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3, 4 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." So God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Finally, we should depend on God's abounding grace. We've all read about the life of Eli and his son, the chief priest, and even Samuel. Men of God, stalwarts, they failed in the aspects of bringing up their children. Shall we say they didn't pray enough? No. Shall we say they were not diligent in nurturing the children? I doubt it. It is by grace. It is by grace. It is by the abounding grace. So we must constantly, having done all, realize that our own efforts, our works of the flesh, we must pray continuously, trust in God, and pray for the abounding grace to succeed. It is by grace alone. It is not by our efforts. It is by grace. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. So having done all, we must continually pray and depend totally on the abounding grace of God. For not by our strength, but by His grace are all things possible. On our own, we can do nothing. And except the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain that build it. So says Psalms 127, verse 1. We will not labor in vain in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. In conclusion, knowledge and wisdom in godly parenting is to recognize that God is the father and owner of these children, and that parents are privileged carers to nurture this heritage to fulfill the purpose of God in their lives. To succeed in this parenting journey, we must follow God's parenting manual and continuously pray for His abounding grace for we cannot do it on our own. Let me end this with a prayer that once again we thank the Almighty God for today. I congratulate all the fathers in the house and fathers to be. And in fact, I congratulate all the mothers, because without you, our work is not possible. We are grateful to our mothers. We are grateful to our senior pastor and the pastorate. And we thank the Almighty God. We pray that the Holy Spirit will deepen the word of God in our hearts and grant us more understanding and empower us to fulfill our role in the upbringing of the children that He has entrusted into our hands. In Jesus' mighty name. Remember, brethren, whether you call your children junior and you give them your name, they are not your children. You are first line carers. They are heritage of the Lord, the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Most High, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is the true, authentic Father of these children, and we must surrender everything unto Him. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.